you do a station ID for our radio station, you think, Tommy Chong?
I loved you, man.
It's CITR FM 101.9.
101.9?
Yeah, be wild, creative.
This is Dork Radio. Remember Dork Radio? Did you ever hear Dork Radio? It's off one of our records. It's a college station, D-O-R-K. Okay. Hey, man, this is Tommy Chong, and I listen to CITR. I'm sorry. Hey, this is Tommy Chong, and I listen to CITR Radio FM 109. It's college radio, so I really get stoned first, then I listen to it.
All right! Thanks very much. Keep on rocking in the free world.
Yeah, hey, play a record I know, man.
So Tommy, you whatever happened, how did you end up playing on a Joni Mitchell record?
Oh, right. Yeah, well, her and Cheech had an affair one time, man. She liked Mexicans. So they were a number then, I guess, yeah. She actually liked tacos a lot. So she asked us if we'd be on her record. And she was on one of ours. And so we returned the favor.
Have you ever heard of McLean and McLean before? Canadian comedians?
McLean magazines?
McLean and McLean. They're a Canadian comediomic team or whatever. They had Burton Cummings sung for them once. I was just wondering if you knew why he did, but I guess you've never heard of them.
I think I have heard of them, as a matter of fact. They're Canadians, aren't they?
Yeah, old school Canadians, like yourself.
From where, West Van?
No, I think they're from back east.
Oh, yeah, where? Where? Beggarville?
No, I think it might be a Halifax or something like that.
Halifax, well, that's back east, eh?
Hey, who was Abe Stanenko? Like, he's a real guy, isn't he?
Abe Stanenko's a cop from Vancouver that tried to bust every hippie in town until I put him in the movies and got his ass transferred to Turkey.
So, and do you know where he is now? He's still in Turkey?
Probably. I don't know where Abe is now. I hope he's in Turkey. He's probably being the other end of that Midnight Express, you know, being raped by some prison guard and liking it, knowing Stadenko.
Didn't you, what was that band that you were, really, was it Four Ends and what's this? I don't get it.
I had a band once, we call ourselves Four Niggers and a Chink.
And then you change it to Four Ends and a C and then three Colored Fellows and Oriental Lad.
Well, every week we change the sign. It would start out with Four Niggers and a Chink and then went to Four Colored Guys and a Chinese Lad. And then it ended up Four Ends and a C.
And you like played cool places like Oil Can Harry's.
Yeah, worked Oil Can Harry's. Well, Danny Basita, you know the owner? Or the ex-owner, he's in, he's a dealer now down in L.A.
Do you really love drugs?
Yeah, I really do.
You really do?
Yeah, I gotta admit it. I do. I think drugs are what's happening, and I advise everybody to do them. Especially young kids.
Is there any drugs you haven't done that you won't do, but you sort of want to?
Okay, cigarettes. I won't do cigarettes because nicotine will kill you. And I don't really drink a lot of booze, you know. Alcohol will kill you. But I smoke all the pot I can find. I don't smoke it all at once. I just do a little bit at a time, you know. And I used to take acid, but I quit around 1971.
How about ecstasy? Like, there's a lot of new ravers that are into ecstasy and stuff. Are you into that?
I've done ecstasy, and it was great. You know, remember John Lurie from Stranger Than Paradise, an actor?
Yes, it sounds vaguely familiar.
Yeah, him and I did ecstasy together. We had a very nice time. We sort of chatted all night and... Well, some strange man necked with his girlfriend in the room, in another room for about 4 hours. And she came out of the room, she was on ecstasy too. And she thought it was John. She was necking with a stranger and she thought it was her boyfriend.
Are you a Canadian still?
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I might have lost my citizenship, but I don't think you can lose your citizenship. So, yeah, I made it in L.A., so sometimes they, you know, we get disbarred from
Canada. But you were born in Canada.
Born in Edmonton, eh? University Hospital.
Right here.
Right here in Edmonton.
What year?
1938. May 24, 1938. In fact, my mother said there was firecrackers going off. They had a big celebration.
And you got on a rock and roll tip right off the bat?
I was about 16 when I found out that music could get you laid. So I got into music, boy. Didn't matter what you look like either. You know, you'd be a geeky looking guy, but if you played music, whoa, you get the girls.
What do you, that band Four Ends and a Sea, now, didn't you also join Bobby Taylor and the Vancouvers?
I was the original guy that started that group. Bobby Taylor, I started out with a group called The Shades, we're in Calgary. First group.
Not The Shades of Blonde, was it?
No.
Featuring Mel Shaw, 49th Parallel, 60s Garage Punk, Danny Lowe, Q Sound, Madonna?
No, but they probably got the name from us if you say Mel Shaw. Is Mel Shaw Jr. or the guy that discovered the Stampeders?
Mel Shaw, the guy who discovered the Stampeders.
Okay, well, see, he was a groupie hanging around when we were... Our first band was called The Shades. It's because there was an Indian, American, or a Canadian Indian, black guy named Tommy Melton, Indian named Dick Bird, and myself, who's half Chinese. We call ourselves The Shades because we're all different colors. And we used to do a stage show. Then we added Eric Murray on drums and Pete Watts on sax and my brother on bass. And then we called ourselves The Shades. And we played Calgary and Edmonton from 1955, 56 to 58 when we were asked to leave by the mayor. And we went to Calgary. Then we became the... Little Daddy and the Bachelors.
Hey, man, you got a pause button on that thing?
Pause, yeah, what's up?
Well, I just want a picture, man.
Okay. We're like, taking a picture.
We were like pals in school.
Right? Yeah. But we did time in...
Detox.
In detox together. The Betty Ford Clinic.
Thank you.
And then I went to Canada, and then I discovered oil, and I...
Little Daddy and the Bachelors, did the Shades ever record anything?
The Shades never recorded anything. The Little Daddy and the Bachelors recorded a couple of records, yeah. We won a contest at the Teen Fair in Vancouver, and the recording, the first prize was a recording contract, and we recorded in a radio station on the stairway, and we did a record, and it got put...
That's Walk on the Wild Side, right?
No, the record was...
It's about a Night Train Review, maybe. That's another band. It's on that History of Vancouver Rock and Roll Volume 2. It's been reissued, which you probably don't see any money from. But you probably don't need the money, right?
Well, no, I always need the money, but I don't see it. Yeah, we're on it. It's called Junior's Jerk.
Junior's Jerk has a great reverb in it, doesn't it? Like, it's instrumental?
Yeah, that was mine. I did that. And...
Ever heard of Wes Dacus? Because he was from Edmonton.
Wes Dacus.
Or Dacus.
Dacus. We played Battle of the Bands with Wes. When the Shades came up. And it was Wes Dacus and the Rebels, was it?
Yeah.
He wear a little suit and play bass.
Because they ended up recording with Norman Petty in Clovis, New Mexico. With Buddy Holly's, these guys who did Buddy Holly.
Yeah. I don't doubt it, man. They were good. Bobby Cairns played guitar. He's a hell of a guitar player in Edmonton here. Edmonton always had the better musicians, but we had better looking guys in Calgary.
What happened? What happened, like, Bobby Taylor Vancouver's? Like, you started that group. It was the first Canadian group, or the first non-black group to be signed to Motown. That's pretty wild.
Yeah, we had a number one record. Yeah, we there's a lot of history there. We discovered the Jackson 5. They were the opening for us one place. And
was Bobby Taylor who discovered, you helped.
Well, we were there. We were all there at the same time. We're playing a Chitlin' gig, you know, Chitlin' circuit, all the black clubs. And we played the Regal Theater in Chicago, and the Jackson 5 were opening for us. And so we took him to Detroit and had him signed on with Motown.
Was it hard to get signed to Motown? I mean, being a Vancouver band.
Well, I had an after hours club in Vancouver, and when any of the Motown acts would play,
called
it was called the Elegant Parlor. Whenever the Motown acts would play in Vancouver, they all came down to my club because it was like a black after hours booze bar, you know. It was hip, and we played music. That's when the Vancouver's, we played there. And so the Supremes actually discovered us first. They were partying one night, and they told Barry. Barry Gordy flew in to Vancouver, seen us, signed us, and we went to Detroit.
Going to Detroit. What year was that?
1967.
Because around that same time, have you ever smoked anything with Neil Young before, Tommy?
I've never met
Tommy.
Never met Neil Young. I just seen him in a movie where he had a big Coke booger in his nose. That's the only time.
And they airbrushed it out.
No, they left it in.
No, the last waltz, they airbrushed it out.
Not in the version I saw. Big, huge Coke booger.
Because he was playing with Rick James at the time, and they recorded an album for Motown that was never released.
I met Rick James later, and I met George Clinton later. The only Motown people I knew were the Temptations, Smokey, Stevie.
How about any of the King artists, like Brown? Did you ever party with James Brown?
Well, James, it's weird. James, their band used to come to the parlor and sit in with us. It was really
his band, the JBs?
James Brown, you know, that great R&B band, the drummer.
Bobby Bird or whatever.
No.
Yeah. Let's see.
Some famous guy.
Oh, Fred Wesley? Maceo Parker?
Maceo. No, Maceo played sax, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. Trombone or trumpet.
Yeah. Well, they used to sit in. One night, this other promoter had a club upstairs. He was trying to go psychedelic, and this is at the height of the Motown era. And he booked all these groups that later went on to become mega superstars, like Janis Joplin and the Rolling Stones. And he had this club upstairs, and he couldn't make any money with it. It's called the Retinal Circus. And he used to book, and my club was right below that, in the basement. And our club would be packed, and his would be empty, with the Stones, with the Rolling Stones. They never drew anybody. It was amazing. So this one night, all the James Brown's band was playing on stage, and we're up there jamming. And I look in the back, and I could see Mick Jagger and Keith Richards trying to get in the club, and they couldn't get in because it was too crowded.
Because James Brown, what do you think his drug of preference is? Because he was known to do angel dust.
Well, James went through a bisexual period that was real funny. Remember that song, Please, Please, Please? Well, James had a gay lover at the time. And he'd be on his knees. If you look at some film, you see him on his knees, and this guy would run up and throw a fur coat over him and pick him up and carry him off the stage. Remember that? And then James would break loose and come running back and, please, please, and he'd sing some more. And then this guy would, well, the guy that would run home and grab him, that was James's lover. So James was very heavy bisexual for the longest time. And then he changed, you know, I don't know what happened, but
he ended up opening, he was trying to open a bunch of burger restaurants in the ghettos. Did you hear about that? What was that about?
James, man, he's from the South. You know, and he was like a down-home brother, you know. Not too many smarts, like the rest of them, you know, like the rest of us. Anybody in rock and roll, you know, we just knew one thing, you know, music. And James is one of them. He was a cool guy, though. I met him.
Have you seen him since, or did any of the old rock and rollers phone you up at all coming through town?
They got short memories, a lot of them, man. They don't remember. Well, they're old fuckers, too, you know. I know, like Joe Jackson, Michael Jackson's brother, father, doesn't remember me. I met him one time.
Maybe he doesn't want to remember you. Selective memory.
He's fucking stupid, man. He doesn't remember me. He does not. I look him in the eye. He doesn't remember me. It's weird, man. I think I don't know, whatever. You know, Jermaine and all the rest, they do, you know, because they were like halfway, they had a half a brain, you know.
When did, like, the Vancouver's break up? Was that your last band before movies started?
Yeah, I got fired. I got fired. I was getting my green card. So Motown, I had Motown paying for it. myself and the bass player, because I knew how important a green card is, you know, working down the States. So I had a gig. I was backing up. Bobby had left. He went on with Smokey, and the Vancouvers were backing up a girl called Chris Clark, who was Barry Gordy's white girl of the month club, you know. And so I had to leave town in the middle of the gig to go to do an interview to get my green card, and she fired me for leaving the gig. This is after I told her what I had to do. And so I got fired. So I quit the band and came to Vancouver and started an improv group. Then I met Cheech and...
Had Cheech been in bands before?
Yeah. He was Little Caesar and the Chicanos or something, you know. He had a Chicano band, like a Ricky Valley kind of band. And he also was in Calgary. He sang in a Bragg Creek outside of Calgary. And he was in a lot of bands.
Do you have any Brian Wilson stories?
The men went to, Cheech and I were playing Vegas one time, and we walked in the elevator, and Brian was huddled in the corner. And I don't know how long he'd been riding the elevator up and down. I don't know how long, but he's kind of comatose in the corner. So we never said anything. We just looked over. And I was like, Brian.
I didn't even want to help him.
Nah, what can you do? He's fucked up. Met Ted Nugent one time. That was funny. Just recently. I said, hey, Ted, how are you doing? In the elevator. I said, I'm Tommy Chong. And Ted says, no, I'm Ted Nugent. And I said, no, Ted, I'm Tommy Chong. He goes, oh, I'm sorry, man, I'm deaf. He's deaf. He can't hardly hear.
How about Elvis?
Elvis sent us a Christmas card one time. That's the closest I ever got to Elvis.
Why would, like, who would send you Christmas cards? Why? Just celebrities, two celebrities, or any particular reason?
I think Elvis probably got into our movies, and, you know, that was his way of saying, you know, hello. That's about all I can think of.
How about Margaret Trudeau?
No, nothing on Margaret, no. I was doing movies then when she was fucking Mick.
Did you get to go to the White House and meet Nixon? Any White House?
Close I got to the White House, I was in the Swedish embassy with Peter Sellers one night. Peter was going with the daughter of the ambassador. And I had a gig in Washington, and Peter called me up. And he said, he sent me a telegram saying, the Swedish ambassador requests the presence of Sir Ashley Roachclip at the residence. And Ashley Roachclip was a character from one of our records. And so I went there, and we had a great time. We played records, got stoned, and kept ringing these bells that the maids would come in. You know, there's a bell there, and it said service, so we'd push it. And a sleepy maid would show up about 10 minutes later. Can I help you? And we'd look around. Oh, yeah, get us a beer. And so she'd get us a beer, and then we'd start. We had a good time because it was legal, because it was on Swedish territory, so we could smoke dope.
So, Tommy Chong, how about the Beatles? It's been rumored that John and Paul had some wild escapades in different rooms. Did you ever hear anything about that?
I met John and Rod Stewart in a bedroom the same night. It was at a party at Lou Adler's house. And they were in there. I was going to go and find a place to smoke a joint. And they were in there. John was sitting on the floor kind of in his, he was in his Mei Ling era, you know, the Chinese secretary. And Rod was sitting on the bed. I think he was gone, or he just met Britt Eklund at the time. And I come in, I said, hey, how are you doing, guy? I lit up a joint, and they freaked. They were afraid of the immigration. And John wouldn't take a toke, and Rod wouldn't take a toke. So I said, fuck you, smoked it myself. That's the only time I met those guys.
Bruno Gerussi?
Who's Bruno Gerussi?
The Beachcombers. The Canadian superstar. Wojak.
Wojak?
Leslie Nielsen.
I seen Leslie. I rode the plane with Leslie just recently. That was a weird feeling, man. It's like being in the plane in the movie. He's sitting in the, you know, it's like airplane, you know.
So what are you doing now?
Trying to get paid.
By Paul Hughes?
Huh?
How are you trying to get paid?
Well, for the gig. That's why the bands are here. They're all trying to get paid.
How much does it, if I may dare ask, does it command to get Tommy Chong to come and MC a concert?
Not quite two figures. Close, but not, yeah, actually two figures.
Never one?
Oh, yeah.
Like, so are you living here right now? Like, do you go home right now to your house?
In Edmonton?
Yeah, or do you have anywhere to stay?
I don't think so, man. Edmonton?
No relatives anywhere? Because you said you're from Edmonton, or you went to school here.
Nah, no more relatives anymore. They tore Chinatown down, man. And whatever relative I had, they were living there, they're gone. Calgary, I got some nieces.
Stompin' Tom Connors.
I like him, man. I like his ketchup song. Is that him? Yeah.
Pierre Burton.
Good writer. Great, great Canadian. He knows more about Canadian bullshit than anybody.
All right. Well, anything else you'd like to add to our video documentation of Tommy Chong's evening here at Highwood 1993?
If I don't get paid, I'm going to take a whole lot of Marshall amps home with me on the plane.
All right, Tommy Chong. Doot, doodle, loot, doo.
Doot, doot.